Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here with us. We thank you for an opportunity to gather together and to worship and to fellowship together and to hear the word of God and to share the word of God one with another. As always, we declare that the entrance of your word gives light and brings in light and gives understanding to us. So let it be even now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, so today, and I think I may adopt this pattern. We'll see how the Holy Spirit leads. Since we have spent 4 days or so, you know, on this subject, well, we started out with testings and trials and so forth, which was, you know, we did that in the previous series. But we spent quite a bit of time on faith and wisdom. And I wanted to do a review this morning before we continue reading through this first chapter of James. So today's lesson is titled Review. We're going to talk more on faith and wisdom, give some practical examples, and I want you to also be ready to share. Now, first thing I want to say is this is not faith versus wisdom. This is faith and wisdom. So, you know, let's clear that right away. We're not pitting faith against wisdom. It's faith has its own role and wisdom has its own role, but they must work together. That's what we have been talking about in this room. In the later chapters, I may actually do a look ahead. We will see where, you know, James actually talks about wisdom in a way that he say classifies it as, you know, there's worldly wisdom, you know, calls it even fleshly, sometimes even sensual, sometimes even devilish wisdom. But then there is godly wisdom, you know, so we want to make sure that we understand that we're not, you know, trying to replace godly wisdom, first of all, with, you know, the worldly wisdom, nor are we trying to superimpose that upon faith or faith upon the wisdom. Both must work together. So let's look at it from the scriptures. And then we're going to look at a few examples in the scriptures and then some practical examples in our everyday lives. And maybe you might have some examples as well. Now, for the most part, we are more familiar with faith because we've covered it a lot. But wisdom and the way of wisdom, you know, will lead us in right paths. In the book of Proverbs, mostly, a lot of it has to do with wisdom. And the writer calls attention to wisdom from various angles. In fact, you know, all the things that he says, in the beginning of the book, he says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, you know, and so on. Justice and judgment, equity, and give subtlety to the simple. And to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, and so on. So we see that wisdom doesn't mean you know everything, but it shows that it is where you have the capacity to learn even new things. That's how we get wisdom. He said a wise man will hear and will increase learning. So wisdom is actually that capacity. You know, some people think of wisdom as if you know the answer to everything. No, it just means that you may know some things, but you have the capacity to increase learning. That's what it says here. You know, so we will look at that from that perspective. But we'll also see how, you know, the scriptures have demonstrated faith and also wisdom in many areas. Instruction, You know, the ability to hear from God and be led by God, that's so important. Romans 4:8-14 says, as many as are led, you know, by the Spirit of God, they indeed are the, you know, sons of God. So being led by the Spirit of God, you know, also means that we stop and ask, you know, we stop and ask. You know, many times we see in the, you know, life of David that he would stop and ask, shall I pursue or shall I forbear? You know, he would ask and then the Lord would tell him whether to pursue or to forbear. And even if to pursue, how he should do it. Whether to wait for the sound on the top of the mulberry trees or to go this way or to go that way. You know, and, you know, so we see that wisdom, you know, many times has to do with us taking time to stop, evaluate our actions, ask the Holy Spirit questions, you know, of, you know, how to proceed. And throughout this book, you know, of Proverbs, it talks about that. You know, I see the book of James as the wisdom book in the New Testament, you know, just like the book of Proverbs in the Old. There's a lot of things that he says, very practical things that he says that we'll get into later. You know, so to receive instruction, to hear the words of instruction, to incline our heart unto wisdom, to apply our heart unto understanding. You know, chapter 2 says in Proverbs, if you cry out knowledge after knowledge, if you lift up your voice for understanding, you seek her as silver, you know, and search for her as hid treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, and God will give you wisdom, and so on and so forth. So powerful, powerful stuff here that, you know, the scripture talks about in the book of Proverbs. Let me read Proverbs chapter 4. And like I said, every chapter, especially the beginning chapters, it begin to put a lot of emphasis on why we should listen, you know, to wisdom, right? But more so in chapter 4 of Proverbs, it talks about, you know, a father's instruction. You know, hear ye children, the instruction of a father. I know that I, as a father, I talk to my children like this sometimes. You know, tell them, look, this is your instruction from your father. You know, and I say, attend to no understanding. I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. You know, it tells them so many things. You know, wisdom, he says, is the principal thing in verse 7 of Proverbs chapter 4. Therefore, get wisdom, you know, and with all your getting, also get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote you. Now, that's wisdom right there. Verse 11 says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, and I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, see, this is what wisdom brings to you. Your steps shall not be straightened. In other words, you won't, you know, fall, or you won't trip, or you won't be, you know, choked up into things that bring regret. When you run, you will not even stumble. Wisdom will give you that. Take hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is alive. Your life, you know, that's why, you know, every... so often we talk about wisdom. We talk about faith all the time, but every so often we talk about wisdom. And we've done some in-depth series on wisdom. In that series, I called it, you know, the lack of wisdom, the, you know, the things that bring cracks into our lives. I mean, most people use wisdom as an after the fact thing. You know, after you've already made a lot of mistakes, after you've already, you know, just done things foolishly, then you learn, and then you call that wisdom. No, we should learn in advance, not wait until we've made mistakes, you know, and then we fall in, and then we're picking ourselves up, then we learn wisdom. Some people learn it that way. But that's learning things the hard way. Well, some people will tell you, learn from your mistakes or even learn from others. And parents usually try to teach their children, especially godly parents, you know, give them instruction from their own vantage point, having been through some of these things. And sometimes the children don't listen. They want to figure things out by themselves. Well, that's fine. But, you know, you don't have to figure everything out by yourself. The scripture gives us some guidelines about some things. You can avoid a pitfall. You don't have to wait until you fall into the ditch in order for you to learn how to not fall into the ditch. You can, you know, the prudent man, according to Proverbs 22 and verse 3, foreseeth the evil in the first place, and he will hide himself and he will not fall in. So, you know, you don't have to say, let me fall in first. And then when I climb out, then I'll figure out, you know, how to not fall in. If you use wisdom, you might avoid that pitfall in the first place. You know, so wisdom is so important. There are cracks in our lives, a lot of regret and different things that come, you know, that we may avoid if we use wisdom. But today I want to look at some, you know, practical examples in the Bible. Now, again, remember, it's not faith versus wisdom. You know, they're complementing each other. Now, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Now, that's a very good instruction. You know, that whereas you're thinking of, you know, understanding and wisdom, don't depend on your own human understanding and wisdom. Be not wise, he says, in your own conceit, you know. And some people think that they are so wise. And every time they speak, they like to make like, oh, you know, I'm a man of wisdom, this and this and this. Well, it may actually be fleshly wisdom. And it may be wisdom that is sensual. The Bible even calls it sometimes even devilish. But the wisdom that is from above, this is the way James puts it. And that's why I love this book of James. Calls it out. You know, it's not every wisdom that may be from the God. You know, some of it may be twisted wisdom. You know, but he said, look, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, and easy to be entreated. It is full of mercy and good fruits. It is without partiality, and it is without hypocrisy, and so on. You know, so that's in James 3 and 17. That's just looking ahead to that. So it's not every wisdom. It's the wisdom that is from the world. He calls it in verse 15 of James 3. He said, this kind of wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly. So there's some kind of worldly wisdom. It's sensual. I even calls it devilish at times. You know, so we got to be endued with wisdom from God. And we don't want to overcompensate one way or the other. You know, some people spiritualize everything, you know, to the point where, you know, everything is faith, 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 and there is no practicality. James talks a lot about this. And so just looking ahead, we're going to get more into this, but just looking ahead, it's kind of like, you know, he said, look, a brother comes to you and has need, you know, and you just pray for them, but you don't give them something. I mean, they're hungry. You just say, well, you know, let me pray for you. And you just lay hands on them and pray for them that they should be filled with food, but you don't give them food. Well, that's over spiritualizing the use of faith. James said, look, you know, give the man some food already, you know? So, you know, that's when he was talking about, you know, faith without works and so on. You know, we'll get to that later. But I want to draw some examples from scriptures of where, you know, the Lord showed how, of course, you know, throughout the Bible, faith is there, but it also showed us, you know, how we can use wisdom. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 1, in verse 22. It says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. You know, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God, if you want to call it that, is wiser than even the wisest of men. And the weakness of God is stronger than even the strongest of men. So put it to you this way. The Jews and Greeks, their own is this versus that. Yeah, I want a sign. You show me, you know, something, you know, powerful that you are doing, works of faith, say. This other one say, well, show me wisdom, you know, and so forth. You know, so look, and he's saying, bring it all together. Christ, a power, and that's faith, and also the wisdom of God. So you see that, you know, Christ brings it together. You got the faith, which is the power. Then you got the wisdom, which is also there. You bring it together in Christ. You know, don't just take one or the other. So that's a good scripture for you to remember. Christ, the power of God. You know, power there represents the faith. Jesus himself talks about them. Mark 11, you know, as you begin to talk up to them in 22, have the faith of God, he says. You know, so the power of God right there representing the faith, and the wisdom of God representing the wisdom we're talking about. Both of them are found in Christ. Now, rather than leaning one way or the other, we've been trying in these last couple of days to bring the balance. Now, unfortunately, most of the times we tend towards the imbalance, you know, of one thing or the other. We are either trying to spiritualize things and not using wisdom, or, you know, somebody's, you know, being too analytic and so forth without using any faith. And let's look at some practical examples before we even get into scriptures. You know, let's take a practical example. Say you are a student, right? A practical example. And you need to have faith that God will help you through your classes and so forth. And when you are, you know, learning, that God will give you understanding. You got to have faith for that. But you got to do your part. You got to do your assignments. And you got to do your study. You know, there is, you know, I mean, for you to just stay there and try to believe that God will show you everything without you studying, it may happen. You know, I remember when I was in college, there was this man of God who was a few years our senior then, and I was just coming into, you know, the faith and different things. And he used to tell us how, you know, he would just do things, spend a lot of time doing things, gospel, deliverance, and things like that. Didn't have time to read. And then when time came for his exam, he would just pray and trust the Lord. You know, I mean, he had tremendous faith, apparently. And he had certain gifts that he was apparently using. And God was showing some things, and he would scale through the exams. Well, some people try to do that. Like him, they made shipwreck of their education. You know, it probably worked for him, but it didn't work for, you know, everybody. You know, so if you're a student, you got to study. Even the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. I mean, even if you're a preacher of the word, you're a teacher of the word. I mean, you can just sit down and say, God's going to show me everything. I don't have to study. By faith, God will show me everything. God said, no. He will tell you that faith comes by hearing the word of God. The wisdom will teach you to go back to that word and read it. That's where you're going to get faith from. So the student must study for their exam. And, you know, I talked about when I did the series of wisdom, I talked about knowledge. You know, you find out, you know, at least I saw this when I was in college, when I was well prepared. And there were some classes that I was well prepared. In fact, that I enjoyed very well. And I knew the topic. And I was always well prepared. And I knew those things. You know, I would sit in the front, in the front of the class, ready to engage the instructor, you know, because I knew my stuff. The ones when I wasn't too prepared or didn't know stuff, I'd probably sit in the back, you know, because you didn't want to be called upon, you know. So when you learn and you are prepared, you have confidence, you know. And so, but if the student doesn't learn anything that they're supposed to do, or you don't turn in your assignment sometime, then you begin to pray that God will give you a miracle. I don't know about that. You know, you got to do your part, you know, and so on and so forth. And God has shown us this throughout the scriptures. Yes, everything is by faith. By faith, we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. But then practical things. God showed Adam how to do practical things. Bring him into the garden and tell him, go manage the place. You got to do some stuff and so on and so forth. You can't just sit there and say, well, you know, God already commanded these things to bring forth fruit of its own kind and so forth. So there is nothing else for me to do. God said, no, there is stuff for you to do. You know, and so on and so forth. So God keeps us all of these ways. Now let's see some examples how God actually even used wisdom in the scriptures. You know, so to even there is, you know, there is a, you might know the story of, you know, a woman that is called, and we've spoken about her multiple times in this, on this platform. You know, scripture calls her, you know, the Shunammite woman. And she done, you know, several things, you know, with the prophet there, Elisha. And at one time, you know, the Lord gave this woman wisdom by the prophet. He said, look, there is coming famine that will be very sore in the land. And so here's what you need to do. Go get away from here and go find, you know, a place where you can stay in the land of the Philistines or whatever. This thing is going to be for 7 years and get away from here. And he, you know, he gave her that advice. And that was, you know, godly advice because the prophet knew what was coming. Now, the woman had a choice. She could, you know, take the, you know, take the advice and go and get away from the place. Or she could stay there, you know, and just believe God that despite the famine, everything's going to be good. Well, what did she do, though? She actually went away, just like the prophet told her. You can read that story in 2 Kings chapter 8. I'm not going to read all of it, but he told her there will be famine for 7 years. So go find a place that you can hide yourself and your household and then come back after the famine. So she went to the land of the Philistines 7 years. Now, that's a practical example of using wisdom to avoid a bad situation. Now, you can stay there and by faith be praying that the famine will come, but will not affect you. Maybe if you have the faith, you know, maybe it will work or not. But if God already gave you a way of escape, just like 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, With every trial and thing that comes your way, God gives a way of escape. If God gave her the way of escape, but she refused and she stayed there and be praying that the famine will not take a hold of her, well, if the famine took a hold of her, she would have herself to blame. So that's a practical example of how you can see, you know, faith and wisdom in operation. There are times when you need to use your faith. There are times when you need to use your wisdom. And in every situation, they both work together. Even she had to have faith that going away, she would make that journey. You know, that the Lord will be with her on that journey and that the Lord will preserve her and bring her back. You know, all of that has to be faith. Even though she's taking steps of wisdom to avoid a bad situation, she has to go in faith and believe that she can come back later on. And she did believe that she could come back later on. Later on, she came back to ask for her estate, you know, and you know the rest of the story. We've told it multiple times on this platform. So, you know, that is wisdom in action, you know. And sometimes when God gives instruction, we need to be careful not to be trying to use faith to override that instruction. We see the story of Elijah himself. When the Lord gave him instruction, Elijah was the man that called for the famine, you know, so he went and prophesied that, well, there's not going to be rain except by my word. And so he left. But the Lord's instruction came to him and told him, you know, go and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. You read that in 1 Kings 17. I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. You know, but then we're told that it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And then the word of the Lord came to him and said, well, get thee up, you know, get out of here because the brook is dry. Well, at that point in time, Elijah was a powerful man of faith, had a choice of staying there and by faith rebuking the brook from drying up, commanding the dried up water to return, commanding life into the brook, and all the kinds of things that we can do, you know, those things that we try to do by faith. Or you can follow the instruction that God already gave. God already gave the instruction. The brook is dry. Get out of here. I'm going to show you where to go. Many of us, perhaps even myself included, would probably have tried to use our faith in that situation and say, no, God is the one that sent me here. And God, the same God that sent me here and fed me by the ravens, he can cause this brook to not dry. So brook, I command you, hear the word of the Lord. Come back to life. Well, you can do that. Maybe it'll come back to life, maybe not. Or you can just follow the instruction that the Lord gave. Now that's wisdom right there. When you follow that instruction, you can be there doing the faith thing, but you got to use the wisdom of God that, you know, in certain situations, when instruction comes, following instruction is wisdom, but there's also faith mixed with following that instruction. You got to believe that that instruction will bring you to a better place. So, you know, they work together. And so God gave him the instruction like that. And he, you know, he had to believe it, that it'll come to a better place. I mean, God has used instruction many times to save people. I mean, God will use instruction. God gave Noah instruction of how to build the ark. And it took him a long time, 120 years. You know, I showed you yesterday how those people used to live very long lives. 120 of his life, years of his life, he was building the ark based on instruction that God gave him. Well, you know, he could have said there that, well, you know, I'm going to use my faith. You know, I will be protected. The storm will come. It will not touch me. God gave him instruction. God already given you the way of escape. You need to follow it. So he followed it and he did it. It took him a long time. Well, in those days, 120 years wasn't very long because, you know, some of these people lived 800 years and more. But for us, that's a whole lifetime, more than a lifetime. And then, you know, even though he was using wisdom to follow instruction, this man had tremendous faith. He would tell his family when they were in the boat, how in the world do we know that we are going to be saved? I mean, this thing, we're being tossed up and down for months. They were being tossed up and down. And, well, Noah would say things like, because God said so. Now, that's faith. You know, you're following the instruction, but in the process, you got to trust God through the process. And that's faith. He's got to trust God that God will see them through the storm. Even though you are following instruction, God gave you instruction of build the ark, hide your family in the ark, and so forth. I'm going to destroy the whole world and all of that. But yet you have to have faith through that process that God promised it, you know, and tremendous faith in bringing those animals. You know, God told him, look, I'm going to bring the animals to you and you will take two or two of them and so forth. Yeah, he has to follow that instruction, but he's got to have faith that God has given him the ability to control those animals. And he needed to have faith that those animals will be in subjection, you know, and so on and so forth. Look, these truths are throughout the Bible where you must use wisdom through the process. You must have the faith in the word of God, that what God said will come to pass. Moses, when he told the children of Israel on the eve of the greatest, you know, slaughter that God put upon those Egyptians, when he, you know, caused the angel of death to pass through and slay all their firstborn, both of man and beast. Well, the people said, well, how do we know? The Lord said so. Moses followed the instruction. Look, take a lamb, kill and put the door on your doorpost the blood. And the people would say, well, you know, I mean, we don't know about this thing. And Moses said, well, the Lord said so. You know, the Lord said so. And that's faith. Now, faith must walk with wisdom in following God's instruction. So you see how they work together. God gave you instruction, but your faith has to work. How do you know that it's going to work out as God said? Well, that's faith. Follow his instruction, but trust him through the process. That's, you know, faith will work with that. And, you know, on and on and on. And even the great master Jesus himself, when he was a baby, you know, it was told to Herod that they had seen a sign. The wise men said, we've seen a sign and so forth, and we come to worship him and all that. And Herod decided to kill all of the young boys that were born. He thought, well, that's treason. You cannot have another king but Caesar. So kill them all. Well, this young child, Jesus, was saved from death by wisdom. God said to, you know, Joseph, the angel of the Lord, in a dream, and said, arise. You can read that in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Now that's wisdom. And be thou there until I bring you word again. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now, so wisdom here, by dream, from the angel of the Lord speaking to him, is showing him how to save the boy's life. Now, come on. They could stay there and just have faith. Of course, there was a scripture that needed to be fulfilled, right? You know, in the book of Hosea, he already said, out of out of Egypt have I called my son. It was a dual prophecy that needed to be fulfilled. You know, so, you know, Christ had to go to Egypt because of that prophecy. But the point being that, you know, you can actually be saved sometimes, you know, just by simple instruction from the Lord. Hosea chapter 11 verse 1 says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. We know that literally happened in the story of the Exodus. But this verse or this chapter here in Matthew chapter 2 is referring to this thing which already happened, but was also prophetically in the life of Jesus. So we see that the, sometimes there are prophecy that are dual fulfillment. And he said, well, that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken, out of Egypt have I called my son. Well, God already called his son Israel out of Egypt, but now he has another son that he is going to call out of Egypt. But it was part of that fulfillment for it to happen. It was wisdom through instruction of the angel of the Lord by dream at night that gave Joseph what to do. Escape to Egypt. But there are some that seek the boy's life to destroy it. So you see how even God using that wisdom to protect the life of the child and at the same time use it to fulfill a prophetic inspiration that was given concerning the Christ. So Joseph could have said, well, we're going to have faith. I mean, if this be, you know, there is the coming king and so forth, God will protect him. Why do we need to go to Egypt and protect us right here? You can use faith like that and reason and logic and everything. Because you know how, you know, faith can be daring at times. I mean, you can dare everything and just believe everything. Well, that needs to be tempered at times with wisdom, you know, and listened to instruction. Otherwise, you might make shipwreck of with that faith. And when people haven't used the instruction with their faith, it can become foolhardiness. And then people just do things anyhow because they think they're walking in faith. Well, true faith would teach you to go to the Word of God. And in the Word of God or the Holy Spirit, you will find instruction. And that instruction will, in turn, boost your faith even stronger. When you, by faith, follow God's instruction, which was given to you in wisdom, and you see a better outcome, it will actually increase your faith. So you see that these things work together. So the review I wanted to do today, before we close this topic of faith and wisdom, not faith versus wisdom, not wisdom versus faith, but faith and wisdom, is for us to look at practical examples. And I want you to also give some examples where, I mean, you know, you can use your faith or try to use your faith. Yesterday we talked about, you know, wellness and faith and health and wisdom and all these things. You can try to use your faith, right? Eat all the bad stuff in the world knowingly and believe that God will somehow, you know, supernaturally give you divine health. You know, when God already given you instruction. Jesus himself said it in the Word of God. He said, look, I send you into the world as sheep among wolves. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, but I'm less as dogs. Jesus doesn't want you to use the devilish wisdom, you know, the cunningness of the devil. But yeah, how is a serpent wise? Well, the serpent, you know, can blend with the environment, hide, you know, almost like, you know how the chameleon can do and they change its color and just blend. The serpent can blend. Most serpents are, they blend. They have the colors of their environment. They just blend. They hide and they are waiting, you know, waiting to strike. You know, and Jesus said, look, be wise. And you know, the serpent beguiled the devil. I mean, beguiled Eve in the beginning. Jesus said, look, you got to be wise, but not that kind of wisdom. You got to be harmless. See, the serpent is not harmless. His wisdom is to strike and cause harm. But Jesus said, well, he's wise. He's shrewd and so forth. But use your own wisdom without harm. So Jesus is also instructing us how to be wise. Who then is that wise and faithful servant, whom his master has given command to feed his house in due season? Well, blessed is that servant whom when he, the Lord, shall come, shall find him so doing. And he said, look, I tell you, he will put him as ruler over many goods. But, and if that servant, instead of being wise, had been foolish and, you know, began to say the Lord delayeth his coming and began to be drinking and drunken and partying with the unbelievers, the Lord of that servant will come in a day that he looketh not for him, and he will cut him asunder, catch him off guard, and appoint his portion with the hypocrites, you know, and then there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I mean, Jesus told these stories. Why is it that it is important, you know, that we should be wise and faithful? You can read that story in Matthew chapter 24. Verses 45 and 46. A faithful servant that will be made ruler over all the goods of the Lord. Jesus called that servant wise. And one that is not wise, who is called foolish. In fact, Jesus told parables like that. There's a parable he told in Matthew 25 of the wise and the foolish virgins. What was the difference? Well, they were all virgins. They were all pure. They were all invited to this thing, some event that they are all going to be a part of. Well, the ones that were, wise, figured out that, look, there's going to be a long journey. We have our lamp. The lamp has only so much space in the reservoir. We need to take extra oil because this lamp, when the oil that is in the small reservoir is finished, the lamp will go out. So let's take extra oil. So when this goes out, we can pour some more in. Now, those were the wise. The foolish, they also prepared for the journey. They also took their lamp, you know, and they knew that the lamp had oil. They tested it. It had oil. But they did not have the foresight to say that, well, this journey might be long. This lamp might run out. We might need to pour in more oil. They didn't have that foresight. Well, at the time that their oil ran out, the foolish, they could have been praying over the lamp, commanding it to come back to life, you know, or you could have just taken extra oil with you. So Jesus told these stories. And when they finally figured out, you know, and they said, well, they went to the wise and said, give us of your oil, you know. And so the wise also used sound judgment. They analyzed the situation. They looked at all the, you know, facts in front of them and say, well, you know, we don't know. This journey might still be a long, you know, the bridegroom may still delay longer. And even when we get there, we may still need our lamps. So no, we don't have enough to give of you. We're not going to let your lack of planning become our own problem. You go solve it for yourself. And they said, no. And Jesus told us that, look, you need to use wisdom and sound judgment. Now, today in today's contemporary world, among Pentecostals and the like, if you say no to anything and somebody asks of you, then they say you don't have any love. That's because you said no. You know, now there are times that you must say no. You know, you must say no when the right time comes. Now, that is not no to your husband or no to your wife. Scripture says you don't do that. You know, defraud not one another. You can't say no to your husband. You can't say no to your wife. You know, because that is wrong. Your body does not belong to yourself. That's not what we're talking about. You do that, that marriage is going to crash. But we're talking about there are times when people did not make the right decision, or they didn't stand their ground. It's not every time. I mean, some of us that are from Africa and Nigeria, we experience these things. It's not every time that, you know, your family asks you for money that you have to give it to them. Because that thing can be a bottomless pit. Because, I mean, because they know you are in America, right? You know, all of a sudden you're going to have, once you get to America, you're going to have a lot of cousins and so forth that you didn't have before. You know, it's like somebody who suddenly comes into some wealth. They're going to have all kinds of cousins, nephews, nieces, aunties that they didn't have before, right? And they will be constantly bombarding you for one thing or the other. Now, if you don't use wisdom, you will make shipwreck. You know, wisdom, God has wired this system to use wisdom even to protect ourselves. You know, wisdom, you know, is what you use to protect yourself from, you know, imminent danger. And those who don't use wisdom, they'll fall and they get punished or destroyed. You know, as I see a lot of parents that don't use wisdom in taking care of their kids many times. And sometimes it leads to regret. You know, kids are playing around the pool. The parent is not paying attention. They're on the phone. They're doing some other foolish stuff instead of watching their children like a hawk. And then all of a sudden, some bad thing happens. And then they go into grieving. And here in Arizona, during the summer months, people like to go swimming and so forth. Yeah, a lot of accidents happen when people don't use wisdom. You know, some people go boating and they have boating accidents because they didn't use wisdom. You know, now some of them, we hear it on the news all the time. They go boating and drinking at the same time. And then their, you know, their senses are beclouded and they get in an accident. Of course, there's demonic spirits behind those things too, but you get the point. You know, if we don't use wisdom, there'll be a lot of problems. You know, you want to buy a house and then you don't have any wisdom. Well, you better ask. You cannot use faith alone in that situation. You can use faith to believe that God will supply your finances, but if you don't have wisdom of what to do, and you don't get some help in that right direction, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. First, you won't know how to get the right kind of financing that you know need, and so on and so forth. You know, if you're trying to make a deal, you know, and you don't have wisdom, someone might cheat you out of that deal. You can go in by faith, but if you're not armed with wisdom, you might end up on the short end of the stick, you know. So wisdom is paramount in many things. Now, even the scripture tells us that, you know, when you are making or building your house, you build it on the rock. Jesus told that lesson. You know, he said, look, the man that listens to my words and doeth them is to be like a wise man. So Jesus was always teaching wisdom and wisdom in this story that Jesus is telling comes from listening to the word of God, listening to instruction and following it. That's where that wisdom comes from. He said, I will liken him to a man that built his house upon the rock, you know. But, and then, and in that case, when the storms of life came up, you know, came against it, then, you know, it will stand. Then, the foolish, on the other hand, he says, well, it's like someone who builds his house on sand. Then the storms of life come against this. We find out that everything is destroyed. I mean, all that he has worked for is destroyed because he didn't use wisdom. Didn't use wisdom. Now, listen to Proverbs chapter 20. And verse 14. If someone goes to market, you know, there are places in the world, I grew up in an area like that, where people bargain when they are trying to make a trade. It's not like the prices are fixed, you know. Sometimes you bargain, and you have to know how to bargain right, right? And if you don't know how to bargain, then you're going to get the short end of the stick. You know, there's a lesson here, and this Proverbs, he writes a lot of things. There's one lesson here about that. It's in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 14. Remember, I'm just talking about practical things today. So when there's bargaining, there is the seller, and then there is the buyer. And the buyer says, it is nothing, it is nothing. You know, and he's trying to drive down the value of that thing, you know, by underplaying it. The other one is trying to say, look, you know, this thing was so much. Say, look, it's nothing. It's nothing. He's trying to find holes in the thing. You know, and then, but when he leaves, then he boasted because he used trickery or wisdom or whatever it is. In this case, maybe worldly wisdom, but it worked for him. That's why Jesus says, you know, in their own generation, the children of this world are wiser sometimes than the children of the kingdom. So this man tricked his neighbor into saying, look, what you're trying to sell is nothing. You know, and then the other one, being foolish, allowed himself to be convinced that it was nothing. You know, and then when this man leaves, then he boasted, say, I made a great killing. You know, so there is wisdom in everything that we do. Listen to Proverbs chapter 20, you know, and verse 18. Every purpose is established by counsel. Now that's wisdom. You know, and with good advice, make war. In other words, choose your battles. You don't have to spend your energy on everything. Some people do that, and then they just get worn out. You can't fight over everything. There's some things you just let go. You're gonna fight everything. You know, even on my job just yesterday, one of my guys came to me wanting me to help them fight something. And I said, no, just let it go. And I was remembering this scripture. And I said, look, you know, I don't need to, it's not every battle you have to fight. You know, that's the way, you know, that department called it out. You can't make them change their rules. Follow the rule. Leave it alone. You know, I was trying to fight something that I didn't need to fight. You know. And you can be fighting the fight and believing that God will turn it in your favor, or you can use wisdom, you know, and comply and move on. So I just said, look, you know, that's not I'm not willing to extend my energy on that one. Leave that alone. You know, I got your back when it's necessary, but this one, leave it alone. And sometimes you got to use wisdom. You know, you got to use wisdom. And so, I mean, on and on and on. You yourself, I want you to think of situations where you can use wisdom and you can also use faith. Now, we're told about discerning of spirits. A discerning of spirit, the Bible talks about it in many places. You know, that's not my lesson today, so I'm not going to take a whole lot of time. You know, about it, but I'm just going to mention a few things, right? So if a prophet tells you something in the name of the Lord and it doesn't come to pass, well, that's a prophet that you should not be afraid of, the scripture says, because they have spoken presumptuously, you know. But let's see. Let's give a practical example. Suppose you are in a congregation and somebody stands up and says, "Thus saith the Lord, this building will be attacked and collapse in the next 5 or 10 minutes. Well, what are you going to do? Now, of course, the Bible says, let there be, you know, other discerners there that check, 2 or 3, you know. But let's say there is no 2 or 3. What do? You can stay there by faith and say, no, there shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. You can over-spiritualize and quote Isaiah 4 and 5. Upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon all her assemblies shall be the glory of God for a defense. You can do that. And you'll be in your right to do it. You know. Or you can say, well, you know, let me check this thing out. And I'm going to go outside the building and stay away for the 5 minutes. And then maybe the building collapses, maybe you'll be safe. Now, if you, after 5 minutes, that building doesn't collapse and they said it will collapse in 5 minutes, there you come back and put out that false prophet, you know, and don't listen to them anymore because they will teach you the ways that are against the word of God. But what if you were staying there and it collapsed on your head? Then what are you going to do? You know, so these are just examples, like, look. The wisdom will teach you how to protect yourself, how to check your ways also. Now, some of us, sometimes we go into investing or just make some rash decisions in financing. We don't use wisdom. We'll end up putting our money in a bag of holes and then there'll be some regret, you know. I have had situation like that, you know, some years ago. I'm usually a very, you know, cautious person. I have a lot of faith, but look, I have to use wisdom. I don't like to put my money into things that may evaporate. That's me. I'm not teaching a doctrine here. I'm just telling something. Practical example. This is not a doctrine. You know, so one time, you know, my bank, they kept pursuing me. And I said, no. Because I had some money there and they wanted me to put the money to some other vehicle or something. And they kept saying, our analysts, they are the best in the world. They are this and that. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. You know, I'm not. I'd rather make nothing and my money is intact than try to make a whole lot and lose everything. So that's me. Some people would, you know, greater risk takers. I have faith, but I don't take those kind of risks. You know, so, but then one day I let down my guard. They persuaded me enough time. I knew better. I let down my guard. And I said, well, okay, fine. You know, we'll do it. So, you know, I talked to my wife about it a little bit. We always talk about those things before we do them. I said, well, you know, let's try so a little bit out. You know, and I did. And I lost money. Money that I didn't want to lose or care to lose. I lost it. I should have just stayed right there, you know, with it. Now, of course, you know, by faith, I recovered. I said, well, I prayed and said, Lord, well, I know I lost that money. And, you know, as a good steward, if you lose something that the Lord gave you, you got to go to the Lord and repent, you know, because you're a good, you know, you're trying to be a good steward. So I went to the Lord and I said, look, I know you were telling me not to do it, but I did it anyway. And I lost this money. So help me. I'm sorry, Lord. And show me what to do, which is what I should have done in the first place. And then I said, well, show me what to do. And then the Lord showed me what to do. And then I went back to the same place and I asked them some tough questions, and they come up with some stuff they had that was hidden that they were not telling anybody. And the Lord said, yeah, that stuff's good. And then I pulled my money from the other thing and put in the, and I made two or three times as much, you know, and so that worked together for my good. It led one thing to the other. But the point of the matter is this. When you don't use wisdom and ask instruction from God, you might have some losses and they might be painful. Now, of course, the Lord will help you to recover. You know, that's again where faith comes in. You know, faith will pull you out of the ditch, no matter how you got into the ditch, whether self-inflicted or not paying attention to God's direction. Sometimes God tells us things, we don't pay attention and we end up in trouble. Either way, no matter how you got there, faith will pull you out of it. And that's faith, you know. But wisdom will prevent you from falling into that ditch in the first place. So, how do we reconcile these two things? You know, you're going to go on a trip. Use wisdom. Check your tires. Make sure your car has, you know, the tank has, you know, gasoline in it. Don't try to use faith that, well, you know, I'm just going to go and, you know, the tank will just supply itself. You know, put gasoline in the tank. Check the tires. Do some basic maintenance on the car. You know, don't take a car that you haven't done any maintenance through, that you left somewhere for months and months and months on a long road trip. It might break down on the way and then you'll be stranded. I mean, so you can also use faith when you are stranded that the Lord will bring you help, and he will. Or you can use wisdom and faith together. Wisdom makes preparation for the trip. Jesus said it himself. What man is there that is going to build a house that doesn't make preparation? Count the cost. Know that he has enough funds. Less happily, when he has started, he can't finish, and then everybody mocks him. Or what man is he that's going to war? These are wisdom things that Jesus was telling. You go into war, you have 10,000 troops. You're going to gain someone that has 200,000 troops. How in the world are you going to do it? You can use faith, or you can go and make peace. Jesus told these stories, you know. So these stories are in the Bible. Of course, there's also times when faith pulled out people that were three times outnumbered. We've seen the story in the story of Jehoshaphat versus Mount Seir, Ammon, and Moab in 2 Chronicles 20. We've seen the story of Hezekiah versus Sennacherib and all of these people that were mocking them and so forth, how the angel of the Lord, you know, came to their rescue and destroyed, you know, all of their enemies. We've seen all those stories, right? So you can read some of that in Isaiah chapter 37. It's also in 2 Kings. But, you know, sometimes you use wisdom. You know, it's not everything that is always we have to use faith. Jesus told us certain things you have to do by wisdom. You know, there are some times that you need to try to settle out of court. Jesus told that story. Because if you don't and you lose, then you are going to pay. And pay for the other, he called it the uttermost farthing. Farthing, you will pay the legal fees on the other side as well. Because you couldn't settle. Now, you can also use faith and God will turn the things in your favor. But you see, we're talking about practical examples. Times to use faith. Times to use wisdom. And all the time, both of them must go hand in hand. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's our review today. I know you all have examples as well. So I'm going to leave it there. Let us share today. I want practical examples of situations you know, I told you one story in my life where I could have used faith. I didn't at first, but eventually I used faith and God, you know, restored. You know, so we want practical examples of where we can use faith. You know, if you are a farmer, you can use your faith to believe that God will give you a bountiful harvest. And he will. But you got to use wisdom to know when to plant. You got to use wisdom to know that you got to, you know, when the planting season is over or you acquire new land, wisdom will teach you that you got to go break up your fallow ground. You got to weed the, you know, weed out all the weed and do all of this, make preparation and then plant. Wisdom will teach you all of that. But on top of all that, you still need faith to believe for the right amount of rain. If you have too much rain, it will destroy all the crops. If you have not enough, you go into drought. So even though you use the wisdom to do all of that preparation and planting and everything, you still have to use your faith to believe for the, just the right amount of blessing from the Lord, the dew of heaven, just enough rain to give you what you need. So on the one hand, you see how it works with faith. On the other hand, you see how it works with wisdom. But you put them together, it's like the Greeks seeking a sign. I mean, Jews seeking a sign, Greeks seeking wisdom. You put it all together. You find that in Christ, you have both the power, which is the signs they're looking for, and the wisdom, which is what they are looking for. It's all in Christ. So put it all together, the faith and the wisdom. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, that's the review today. I want to talk about practical examples of wisdom and faith. There's a few more that I can talk about, but let me leave the room for others to share. And remember, wisdom, the key thing I want to point out here in wisdom, wisdom many times comes from God in forms of instruction. And that instruction may save your life. Or you can be, you know, just use radical faith that's not grounded in wisdom, and you may get hurt. And I put the word faith in quotes. You know, real faith will be grounded in the word of God, and that's instruction. You know, but you can't just have faith in faith. You gotta have faith in the word of God. And what is what God saying at the moment? God may at one time have told you to go to the brook. That was then. Today, he may be telling you, leave the brook. It's dry. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you got to move on. Now, wisdom will also tell you that you've got to balance the word of God. You can't just read one thing in the word of God and jump off. Like this thing I just said, you know, because I caught something in the spirit. Someone said, well, yeah, then I can leave my husband because God told me to marry him. Now he tells me to leave it. No, God never tell you to do that. The scriptures will not contradict themselves. You can't leave your wife. You can't leave your husband. That's not God. You know, that's you thinking, you know, that God told you that. It's like some people just open the Bible. They find some word and they say, well, that's God answering my prayer. You know, that's not wisdom at all. You know, that's just you using your fleshly mind. You can open the scriptures, you know, to a place where you read, and Cain killed his brother. Open the Bible and you'll find that. Well, Cain killed his brother, right? In Genesis. Then, okay, you close the Bible, you reopen the Bible again, and then, you know, you read the scripture where Jesus is telling about the Good Samaritan, and the man had asked him, who then is my neighbor? And Jesus tells him all these things. And then at the end, he says, well, go thou and do thou likewise. So you read those two scriptures, you know, because you open the Bible and he said, Cain killed his brother. You close it. You open the Bible again. And he said, go do thou likewise. So does that mean God's telling you to go kill your brother? You know, so some people will read something. Jesus said, go thy way. You are praying that I should go to college or I should do this thing and so forth. You flip the Bible open and you see the word go. And then you assume that that's God telling you that. No. Ladies and gentlemen, I say this because people have taken my words at times and use them to their own destruction. When I say God gives you wisdom to say no at times, that's not wisdom to say no to your husband or to your wife. You know, when I tell you these things, you've got to use my words that I'm teaching in this room correctly. And don't say that, well, he said, God told you to do this, and now he's telling you to do that. And now you use that, twist it around, and use it to say something contrary to the word of God. That's not what I'm saying. Balance the scriptures out. And so the Lord will help us. Ladies and gentlemen, let me pray over the room. Father, I thank you for today's lesson in the balance. Once again, the balance between faith and wisdom. Wisdom speaks, and is speaking to us now. And it is the principal thing for us that will guide us through life. But faith, we see, is the heartthrob of the soul. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So Lord, help us to understand. Let us not be like the Jews or the Greeks. One only wants signs and wonders. The other one only wants wisdom. Let us get both the signs and wonders and the wisdom of God, the power of God and the wisdom of God together in Jesus' name. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.